There's a lot of charities that are obviously collecting money and donations for Ukraine, but there's also a lot of scammers out there. So it's important if people want to be generous and donate, they need to kind of know where to look to verify that they're giving to a legitimate source.
And there's always a way to verify by looking online. And I suppose, what, the Better Business Bureau would be a resource? You guys would be a resource?
Right. Yeah, the Better Business Bureau runs a site called give.org, and they actually have some stuff about Ukraine. They have a list of, I think, about 20 different charities that are vetted that meet the Better Business Bureau's standards for a charity. You want to make sure that it's not only legitimate, but that, you know, your money is going to help those people, that it's not going for other kinds of fees and costs associated with the group.
So if I get a call from one of the people that says they're from one of those organizations, and, hey, you can just give me a credit card number over the phone, and I say, I'll just do it online, and they get all uppity about it, that might be an indication that maybe, I mean, you may want to go seek out the organization instead of waiting for them to call you.
Right. Yeah, it's never good to click on links or respond to unsolicited contacts. Always got to go out on your own.
Yeah.
Do the research ahead of time. Give to a known entity. It probably is a good practice to give with a credit card rather than a money order, or, you know, crypto is a big thing now. Some people are trying to accept crypto.
Gift cards.
That, right. All that stuff is just bad news. At least with a credit card, you can contest, you can dispute a charge.
Sure.
If you use a credit card. But yeah, you're right. Don't respond to an unsolicited solicitation for that.
Solicit it yourself.
Right.
Because if you're thinking about giving, you probably are thinking about giving before the scammer called.
Absolutely. And do your homework ahead of time. There's a lot of different websites that will tell you if the charity is legitimate or not. So just make sure that you're kind of knowing what you're doing. Also, kind of responding to those unsolicited messages, people have been getting text messages or phone calls from people claiming to be over in Ukraine, that they're the widow, their children were killed, their husband was killed, all that kind of stuff. And they're going to try to direct you to a payment method, electronic payment method, or Bitcoin. Don't respond to those. They tug on your heartstrings and you want to help out, but really stick to the main legitimate charities.
Not, and I mean, obviously that stuff is happening, but these organizations are more able to help than scammers are. That's
right,
for sure.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. And when you're giving to an organization that has the resources, that they're plugged into different kinds of organizations over there, you're helping more people probably than just responding to an individual plea for assistance.
Especially when it's a scam and it's going to somebody's pocket somewhere else.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The people that need that money are not going to see that money then.
No. That's too bad. Medicare scams? Really?
Yeah, this has been around
for
a long time. It works. You know, they get enough people to give them their Medicare numbers or their personal information, and they're able to commit identity theft or Medicare fraud. And enough people, unfortunately, are duped by these criminals that it's still worthwhile for them to do it. So we've had a couple of reports lately. So they're making the calls in our area. And really all it is someone purporting to be either from Medicare or representing some organization. And all they're trying to do is get your name, probably your birth date, and then the most important thing is your Medicare number.
Yeah.
So they're going to use that to commit the fraud. And you just know that Medicare will never, ever call you and ask for your Medicare number.
They know it already.
Right.
Yeah.
And these work because people are caught off guard. You're not expecting to get a call from Medicare. And all of a sudden you get this telephone call. And remember, we've talked about in the past that people can spoof phone numbers and their caller ID. So, you know, you can't really trust it. And then they catch you off guard and say, hey, either there's a problem with your billing, we need your number to verify some information, or do we have an offer for you? We can offer you additional supplemental coverage or this, that, and the other thing. And they take advantage of people's trusting nature to give them that information. And then once it's gone, that information's gone. You can't, you know, you really have to be careful then. So,
And it's not always possible to recover money that's been given as part of a scam. Usually it's not, right?
Usually it's not. Unfortunately, every once in a while we get lucky, especially if there's a local suspect. But a lot of these are transnational organizations where they may have what's referred to as a money mule here in the United States that they're probably part of. They're being duped as well. They might be part of a romance scam or something like that. And the real criminal is overseas, you know, hidden behind a VPN firewall, hidden behind jurisdictional boundaries that we can't cross. So, you know, they have people over here. They'll enlist the help of people kind of unwittingly, collect money for them and then ship it over via Bitcoin, via wire transfer, whatever it is. So it's very, very difficult for, especially for local law enforcement, to track that money.
Yeah.
And that's why we recommend to people that They do report these things to the FBI, to IC3.gov, which is on our website, because they do track it. And if they get enough complaints and have enough information that they can put together to see a pattern, the FBI does have the ability to kind of cross those national boundaries.
But it's always best if you get a phone call and it's not something that you were looking for in the first place. And if Medicare, if you hang up on Medicare and call them back, they'll pick up and they'll confirm whether or not they called or not.
Right. No legitimate organization, whether it's someone calls you and claims to be a law enforcement agency or some representative of government or a credit card company, whatever it is, they're not going to be, if they're legitimate, they're not going to be upset if you hang up and want to call back the number that you know to be the number. No one's going to be offended by that. And that really is the best policy, is not to engage these people in conversation, not to allow them to try to manipulate or elicit additional information from you. Just hang up the phone, or in the first place, just don't answer the phone if you don't recognize the number. But like we said, they can spoof it and it may look like it's legitimate and you want to answer it.
Another one that I got, I told this guy off, but I don't know, it was like a year or two ago. Actually, it's the second time I got a call that somebody was telling me that they detected a problem with my Windows on my computer.
That's a big one, yep.
Yep. And then they asked me what Windows I have, and I'm like, if you detected the problem, you already know, right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, no, we just need to get in and access. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's what people see, those pop-ups, and as soon as you allow someone access to your computer, you might as well throw the computer away, because they're either going to install all kinds of malware or key tracking software, or they're going to be able to see some of the files that are on your computer. And
banking information?
Exactly, yep. Exactly. So never give people that access unless you've initiated that contact and know who you're talking to.
Yeah.
So.
But it's easy. I mean, grandma and grandpa, they're lonely. My grandma had that. We had to take her checkbook at one point because people would call and they'd have a little conversation with them, and then she'd send a check.
That's been the biggest problem through COVID, is that isolation, especially with older people that have been isolated in their houses or away from family members. And scammers know that. And, you know, scammers aren't always in it for the quick buck. They may take weeks or months to try to develop a relationship.
The romance scam is a good example of that.
Yep. And then as soon as someone, you do that, if you've never met the person, all of a sudden they're asking for money, no matter what the reason is, if it seems like it's legitimate or honorable or something like that, it's almost always going to be a scam. And you should really talk to your family about that. And if you have older parents or family members that live alone, please have these conversations with them. Let them know that, you know, the grandparent scam, where people call up and pretend to be a grandchild or a child and need money because they're in jail or whatever it is. Have some kind of system set up, like, that they know that if there's ever a situation like that they should call you directly instead of just trusting that the attorney or whatever it is on the other line. But that's the important thing, is just having these conversations ahead of time and educating yourself about what scams are out there.
Thanks for educating us and keeping us up to date on this. I can't believe this Ukraine one. That's just makes
it really
mad.
Is the lowest of the low. But it's out there, and people need to be aware of it, because, you know, human beings are generous as a person, and you want to help out when you can. And you just need to make sure you're doing it in the right way. Don't let the scammers get your money.